This is Family Policy Matters. This program is produced by the North Carolina Family Policy Council, a pro-family research and education organization dedicated to strengthening and preserving the family. And now from the studio, here's John Rustin, president of the North Carolina Family Policy Council.
Thank you for joining us this week for Family Policy Matters. We are excited to have Kelly Fedoric with us on the program. Kelly is legal counsel with Alliance Defending Freedom in its Washington, D.C. office, where she serves on the marriage litigation team. Kelly is with us today to talk about the escalating threat to religious liberty from the legalization of same-sex unions in the United States and what we as pro-family citizens can do to fight back. Kelly, thanks so much for being with us again on Family Policy Matters Radio.
Thanks, John, for having me on.
Well, we appreciate your time, Kelly, and so much appreciate your efforts. You have been gracious enough to provide a great deal of assistance in North Carolina, and so we're grateful for you and grateful for your time today. Now, Kelly, we've talked on several occasions before about the potential threat to religious liberty if marriage was redefined by the courts. And now that the United States Supreme Court has legalized same-sex unions across our land, we are really seeing that threat carried out in many different ways, as well as a growing hostility toward the traditional view of marriage as the union of one man and one woman. Give us some examples, if you would, of the attacks that we're seeing now on religious liberty now that the Supreme Court has taken the action that it has.
Well, we've seen a variety of different threats to individuals' religious liberty around the country. Those include, you know, government officials, for example, those who have the authority to solemnize marriages. We're representing a judge in Wyoming right now who has a complaint has been filed against her by the Wyoming Commission on Judicial Conduct simply for her making a statement that because of her faith, she would be unable to solemnize a same-sex marriage. We also see it in the context of charitable organizations, faith-based organizations, small business owners simply don't want to use their creative or artistic skills to participate in an event that violates their conscience. So I think the threat is going to be widespread. We're seeing it pop up in a large number of areas. It's a scary time. It's a scary time to think that your belief about marriage and that kids deserve a mom and dad could be under attack by the government.
Well, that's absolutely true. And one prime example of that is Baron L. Stutzman, the owner of Arlene's Flowers in Washington State, who I know that you've worked with. Now, Baron L. has been under attack for her beliefs on marriage even before the Supreme Court legalized same-sex unions. Alliance Defending Freedom, of course, is defending her, and I know that you have called her your hero. Tell us about Baron L. Stutzman and why her case is so important to the battle over religious liberty in our nation right now.
Baronell is my hero, and she's the most wonderful, loving, see, 72-year-old grandmother who's owned and worked at her floral shop in Washington State now for nearly four decades, has employed all individuals regardless of their sexual orientation, and has also served all individuals regardless of sexual orientation. And a couple years ago, one of her longtime friends and customers, Rob Ingersoll, asked her to design and participate in his upcoming same-sex wedding. And because of her faith and belief in the sacredness of marriage, she had to refer him to someone else, and she did that and thought that things were good between them and was just minding her own business, going about creating floral arrangements. But subsequently, and really an unprecedented action, we've never seen a state attorney general do this before. The attorney general of Washington has sued Baronell in her business as well as personally. The ACLU's piled on, and she's now facing two lawsuits. So what she stands to lose is everything. Her savings, her home, her retirement. Washington State's a community property state, so that means I can come after her husband's assets as well. And what this case says to us is that we are no longer secure in our own freedoms. We are no longer good minding our own business. We now have a government that's coming after us and trying to either silence us or trying to make us conform to its new understanding and definition of marriage. And that's truly frightening.
Well, I have told many people recently that based on the Supreme Court's decision, this threat is going to eventually confront every one of us. And I think folks really need to understand that, and they need to be prepared to take a stand, as Baronelle Stutzman did. Now, ADF recently commissioned a poll that Barna conducted about religious liberty. Before we talk about the findings of the poll, I want to ask you if you will briefly talk about what the purpose of this poll was and what some of the questions were asked in it.
After the U.S. Supreme Court ruled this past June that same-sex marriage must be made legal in all 50 states, there was a desire to see what the sentiment was amongst the American people of its perspective on religious freedom. Is religious freedom worse today? Is it more under attack today than it was 10 years ago? So a lot of the questions focused on, you know, where do people see that? Is there a threat to religious freedom now as opposed to 10 years ago?
What did the poll find in terms of overall concern about religious liberty among Americans?
Well, it found that over the past 10 years that there is a significant increase in individuals who are concerned. And I think that there was some of the questions focused on the fact of, you know, don't you think Americans should be able to disagree over issues without using the government to force one another to out of jobs or into jail simply for what you believe. The poll revealed that significant amounts of Americans believe that the religious freedom is under attack, that the government that's supposed to be freedom's best friend has become, in recent years, its worst enemy.
Kelly, I know that one of the key findings from the Barna poll involved the view of millennial Christians, younger adult Christians, toward religious liberty. Tell us about these findings and why they are important.
Well, 60% of Christian millennials were found in the poll believe that religious freedom is worse today compared to 40% in 2012. 56% said that they were very concerned about the future of religious freedom. And this really ultimately makes sense that millennials do have these concerns about the loss of freedom, the erosion of freedom, because that's increased in their lifetime more rapidly than really any generation before us. They've grown up seeing bakers and photographers and CEOs and fire chiefs and their own professors be attacked, pushed out of their careers, simply for peacefully expressing moral convictions. So I think that the results of the poll really reflected what we've seen in society and the consequences of the government coming in and forcing people to violate their beliefs.
Well, that's encouraging that there's a broader awareness and a concern about this, because it's certainly something that we believe that citizens of all ages, of all races, even of all faiths need to be concerned about, because if one individual's faith beliefs can be infringed upon, then what's to keep that from happening to someone else? And again, our constitutions protect as a fundamental right our religious liberties. And so it is something that we all should be concerned about. Kelly, I want to switch gears a little bit and talk about what people of faith can do to protect our right to communicate the truth about marriage as the union of one man and one woman. Of course, on the policy level in North Carolina, we have pursued in the state legislature a piece of legislation called the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, or RFRA, which you were kind enough to help us with during this past legislative session. Unfortunately, that legislation was not enacted into law, but we are still working to educate and encourage our lawmakers to enact that Religious Freedom Restoration Act, which would really allow citizens an avenue to resolve disputes in court if they believe a law or ordinance is infringing upon their religious liberties. Of course, you wrote an excellent feature article for us on the Religious Freedom Restoration Act for the latest issue of our magazine, Family North Carolina. But Kelly, tell us a little bit about RFRA and what it would do to help protect religious liberties.
Well, unfortunately, RFRA really was under attack, and from a messaging PR perspective from this, you know, past year, heavily attacked, heavily misconstrued, which is really unfortunate because it's a really common sense measure that 21 states and the federal government already have in place. And really all it says is that, look, the government can't come in, or if the government does come in and try to force you to violate your beliefs, you at least have a day in court. You get to go in court, you get to have a defense, and the judge will ultimately decide. To me, who can oppose a fair hearing at the end of the day? It doesn't pick winners or losers. It simply says, hey, if the government's trying to force you to do something that you don't want to do, you at least you have a day in court. And really, this is a law that every state should have. Our free speech rights, our freedom of the press, is subject to the same level of heightened scrutiny. And there's no reason why the free exercise of our religious beliefs shouldn't be held to the same heightened standard.
And the RFRA does not just apply to issues of marriage, but it applies in any number of circumstances where an individual believes that their religious rights, their religious liberties have been infringed upon by the government.
That's right. I mean, the government, ultimately the law puts the burden on the government to show that it has a really, really important reason for coming in and forcing you to violate your religious beliefs or your moral convictions, and that it's used the narrowest way possible. There's no other way for the government to achieve that interest. And it really reflects the 200-plus year history of our country where we've successfully balanced important government interests with the religious beliefs of all Americans.
Kelly, another bill that's been introduced in the Congress is a response more directly to the Supreme Court's ruling on marriage, and that is the First Amendment Defense Act. Talk about that legislation, if you would, a little bit, and how it would specifically protect charities, small business owners, and nonprofits from being censored or punished for their views on marriage.
Well, this bill is a really important bill that reflects the idea that religious charities shouldn't be forced to conform or convert to a government-imposed belief system in order to have equal access to public resources. So essentially what the law would do is it simply says the government cannot discriminate against a person or an organization based on their beliefs about marriage. It can't take away their tax-exempt status. It can't take away their licensing. Can't take away their benefits. Simply because of their belief on marriage. And I think that every state needs to enact the same law that the federal government has introduced because, you know, private charities are the ones that are protecting the elderly, they're serving the poor, they're serving abused women and children, the homeless, the addicted, the hungry, and they should have access to public resources and not have to live in fear of being shut down simply by trying to offer hope to the people who need a hand up.
Well, Kelly, before we go, I want to mention an incredibly valuable and helpful resource that ADF has produced for churches, for Christian schools, and other ministries called Protecting Your Ministry. Share with us a bit about this legal manual and why it is such a critical tool for Christians to have to just ensure that they have those elements in place that are necessary to give them the strongest level of protection possible.
Alliance Defending Freedom designed this booklet precisely for that reason, for churches, for schools, for other ministries, to ensure that they have strong articles of incorporation, strong bylaws in place, to essentially build up a strong defense, to make sure that they're as strengthened as possible should they face a lawsuit down the road. We want to make sure that the organizations that are serving people and serving Christ are protected. So we designed this booklet specifically with them in mind to make sure they have the legal fortification, if you will, against potential lawsuits in the future to give them the greatest likelihood of success should they be sued at some point in the future.
Well, we certainly hope that doesn't happen, but in the case that it does, and I think that we would agree that we are likely to be seeing more and more of these legal challenges as people are confronted, as churches and Christian schools and other ministries are confronted with this issue, that there is a growing likelihood of lawsuits and challenges. And so this is such an important tool that those ministries need. Kelly, where can our listeners go to get more information about the Protecting Your Ministry legal manual and also to get more information about Alliance Defending Freedom?
If you go to our website, which is adflegal.org, adflegal.org, the information about Protecting Your Ministry, as well as many of our cases and those that we serve, all that information can be found there.
Well, let me repeat that website. It's adflegal.org. Again, adflegal.org. And with that, Kelly, the time has just flown by. I want to thank you so much for being with us on Family Policy Matters today, for your time and your commitment to protecting marriage, religious liberty, the sanctity of human life, and all the other areas that you work on at ADF. We're incredibly grateful for all the contributions that you make toward this effort.
Well, thank you. It's always a pleasure to come on.
Family Policy Matters is an information and analysis feature of the North Carolina Family Policy Council. Join us weekly for discussion on policy issues affecting the family. If you have questions or comments, please contact us at 919-807-0800 or visit our website at ncfamily.org.